Hello and welcome back to the ESVS podcast. Today, we are flipping the perspective. In the previous episode, we talked to the trainers, the mentors, the consultants, the people who shape the system from the top. Now, it's time to hear from the ones living it every single day, the trainees, the residents who move between night shifts and morning rounds, between textbooks and real patients, between confidence and self-doubt. This episode is about what training really feels like from the inside, what works, what doesn't, and what young vascular surgeons across Europe wish their trainers and the system understood a little better. I'm a trainee myself, so this conversation is close to my heart. It's honest, sometimes uncomfortable, but deeply important. So let's hear it directly from the next generation of the vascular surgeons. Hi everyone, it's really great to have you here. Thanks so much for joining me. For our listeners who are meeting you for the first time, could you each briefly introduce yourselves? Tell us where you're training, what stage of residency you're at, and what first pulled you toward vascular surgery.
Hi, my name is Michael Golian, and I am a fourth year vascular surgery resident in Poland. In total, this is a 6-year program, and I already knew more or less from fourth year in medical school that this was the field that I wanted to get into. What really drove me to pursue this career path, was not only the topic of vascular surgery, the ability to treat patients surgically and vascularly, but also with the individuals who led these classes, that they really infected me with this interest in vascular surgery. So later on, during medical school, I was able to come into the surgeries in my off time and see what it's about. So that also helped me decide.
Hi everyone, my name is Claudia Chwila. I'm a third year vascular surgery resident from Linz, Austria, and I'm also participating in the ESVS aortic fellowship program. I never really thought about vascular surgery until my final year of medical school. During my clinical rotation at the University Hospital in Halle, Germany, I worked with this amazing team, and that's when I became really interested. One of the consultants there told me, every surgeon is afraid of bleeding, except vascular surgeons. And at that time, I found that really convincing, even though now I know that it's not always true. I felt like vascular surgeons were always friendly, calm, and unshakable, and that's exactly the kind of surgeon I wanted to become.
And before we move on, we actually have one more voice to add to this conversation. Joining us is someone who stepped to the other side of the training, Desiree van den Hondel, a young consultant from Rotterdam. Desiree has just finished her training, so she brings very unique perspective, fresh, honest, and still very close to the trainee's experience. So Desiree, looking back now, what made you choose this particular field? What made you choose vascular surgery?
At the start of my training, I was actually focused on gastrointestinal surgery. But in my second and third year, I came into contact with vascular, and suddenly everything clicked. I loved the combination of anatomically beautiful open procedures and the technical challenge of minimal invasive surgery. Also, the immediate results you get after an operation, for example, seeing the CFA pulsate after an endarterectomy, is really satisfying. Also, to be honest, I just really enjoy working with vascular patients. They're often complex, but very grateful. During my training, one of the senior surgeons I worked with, a young female vascular surgeon named Rosemarijn van der Vijver, noticed how excited I was becoming about the field. She and others really supported me in making the decision to specialize into vascular, and I'm still very grateful for that.
Since you're all training in different countries across Europe, this is really interesting. What do you think works well in your national training system? Are there any specific structures or teaching approaches that you feel are particularly effective?
It really depends on the hospital in Austria, but in my clinic, residents get to operate a lot and surgeries are often equally distributed among the consultants and the residents and also within the residents. We also have regular journal clubs, case presentations, updates on guidelines and research meetings, and the hierarchy is quite flat. You can basically ask anything, even questions that might feel simple.
So what's nice about Poland in terms of training is that there is a good proportion of open to endo procedures. So we can do AAA repair, open. We do EVARs, a lot of different bypasses, both anatomic and extra anatomic bypasses. It's a very well-rounded system in the sense of open and endo procedures.
How about the Dutch system?
There are two things I really appreciate about the Dutch system. First is the fact that we all do 4 years of general surgery before specializing. I truly believe this is a strength. It helps you keep the bigger picture in mind and not to get lost in your own super specialized corner. Second, especially in vascular surgery, the training is well structured. We have regular national training days for all vascular residents, where we're challenged with theoretical cases, guideline discussions, and lots of simulation training, often in collaboration with the industry partners. It really helps you grow.
So obviously, every training has its limitations. Are there any aspects of your training that you find particularly challenging or limiting? And if you had a power to change one thing, what would make the biggest difference for trainees?
If I could change one thing, I'd shift the balance from 4 years of general surgery and 2 years of vascular surgery into 3 and 3. 2 years is just a bit too short, in my opinion, to become fully confident in both open and endovascular techniques. In fact, during my last year of general surgery, I was already focusing a lot on vascular cases, and many of my colleagues do the same.
So the biggest challenge in terms of the training system here in Poland is that this program is very individual, and we have to be driven as residents in order to acquire new skills, new information, because that doesn't come by itself from anywhere.
What do you think, Claudia?
I think we could benefit from a more centralized system with clear yearly goals for every resident, a national training curriculum with opportunities for national and international rotations in university centers, but also in smaller community hospitals, and more structured feedback. And within the clinic, I'd really love to see more time dedicated to just regular bedside teaching and also soft skill training.
Let's end this part with a bit of imagination. If you had a magic wand and could change just one thing about your training in your country, what would it be?
If I had a magic wand, I would improve how we train residents in open aortic surgery. In the Netherlands, the number of open aortic cases is declining so rapidly that it's becoming rare for the residents to assist, let alone perform these operations. What I'd love to see is more structured collaboration between hospitals so that every open aortic case includes a vascular resident, either assisting or performing part of the procedure. That way we can make sure that we don't lose essential surgical skills in the next generation.
As funny as this may sound, but paperwork. There could be less paperwork. I find that I spend a lot of time just doing this sort of paperwork in front of a computer. And this really reduces the amount of time that I have with patients. So if there's one thing I could change, it would be for sure a lot less paperwork.
If I could change one thing, it would be micro-teaching every single day and making sure it really happens. Because I feel like in our daily clinical work, sometimes teaching just gets lost along the way.
Many of us will become trainers one day. So based on your experience as trainees, what does an ideal trainer look like? What should we absolutely keep and what should we leave behind?
Maybe to put it shortly, a great tutor or mentor would be somebody who is able to gauge what you need and give just enough of what you need to keep you going and to help you continue to develop, to give more space or less space, to spend more time, less time, maybe giving a little bit more room to perform a procedure or certain skills during a procedure. So this is a very tough question to answer, and I feel like this is very individualized, that the trainer has to recognize the individual's needs and be able to adapt to that.
Claudia?
What makes a good trainer? At the beginning, you need a very patient trainer, someone who explains a lot and guides you step by step. And then later on, I think it's about slowly growing into being an independent surgeon, and that has to happen gradually. That's why you need trainers who trust you and who are genuinely interested in helping you reach the point where you don't need them anymore. but at the same time give you the feeling that they're still there to support you and ready to step in whenever you need them?
That's a tough question. For me, the most important aspect of being a great trainer is to give honest, constructive feedback in a way that builds your confidence and not breaks it down. That kind of support, I think, helps you grow, not only in the operating theater, but also how you will carry yourself as a future consultant.
Let's talk about something we all know is important, but isn't always taught very explicitly: soft skills. In your training, how are things like communication, leadership, or teamwork actually handled? Are these skills formally taught, or is it more a learn by osmosis situation?
We had a few sessions on communication and teamwork, and it's definitely becoming more of a hot topic right now. Structured programs are being developed, but there's still room for improvement. Right now, a lot is still learned by observation.
To be honest, there's not a lot of focus on soft skills like communication or leadership. So this is something that we pick up by osmosis, eventually just learning about it outside of work. We're expected to learn it, but on our own.
Soft skill training isn't really embedded in the curriculum in a systematic way yet.
I'd love to ask each of you this. What advice would you give a medical student who's thinking about vascular surgery?
In terms of advice for medical students, I'd probably say that this is a tough field for sure. It can be unforgiving at times. However, there are also other times where it's very rewarding. Probably the best piece of advice that I can give is to really see for yourself how this specialty looks like. It's best to find a specialist or somebody who works in this field and just shadow them and see for yourself if this is a good fit for you.
I'd like to share two pieces of advice I got from my head of department. He actually gave me the first one during my job interview. It was go and see for yourself, which basically meant get involved, assist in the OR, ask all the questions, really immerse yourself in the world of vascular surgery, and then you decide whether vascular surgery is right for you or not. And you can do that with every specialty. And the second one was always be patient with yourself, because if you are, everyone else will be too, especially in the OR.
My advice would be to follow your heart and choose a specialty that truly excites you. Don't let stories about difficult working hours scare you away. Things are changing quickly with the new generation of doctors. When I started, it was still quite normal to work from 7:30 in the morning until 10 at night. These days, that's no longer acceptable, and we're seeing real improvements in the work-life balance. Also, try to expose yourself to different specialties as much as possible during your clinical rotations. And if something catches your interest, don't be afraid to ask questions or ask to scrub in. Vascular surgery might not be as visible as some other fields, but once you get involved, you might discover a whole new passion that you didn't expect.
And finally, even on the hardest days when training feels heavy, what still inspires you about vascular surgery? What keeps you going? What gives you the small spark of motivation and pride?
What keeps me going is seeing the immediate impact we can make. For example, when a patient has severe rest pain and hasn't slept in days or even weeks, we perform the procedure, the food is warm again, and the next morning they tell you, I finally slept again. That kind of immediate result gives me such a rush. It really reminds me why I do this.
As cheesy as it sounds, but the satisfaction that you feel in a job well done. So for example, if a patient came in with a ruptured AAA, you perform EVAR, and the patient comes back into the department after 1-2 day stay in the ICU with a big smile on their face. That's something that brings a lot of satisfaction. I also need to mention my fiance helps to keep me going, provides a lot of support, and especially in those tougher days.
For me, the goal is to become a really good surgeon, not only in the OR, but also in diagnostics, in decision making, and in communication with patients and with my colleagues. And on tough days, what I think motivates me most is the patients themselves. When they're thankful because you explained something clearly, you were honest with them, you gave them the time they needed for their questions, And in the end, it's also my team in Linz that inspires me and keeps me going. So a big thank you and shout out to all of them.
Thank you all for sharing these beautiful perspectives. So for our listeners, we've just heard from trainees and young vascular surgeons sharing what they love about training and what they find most challenging. But now I'd like to zoom out for a moment. What does the data actually say? Joining us, one more special guest, David Whipple, who has been studying the training experience of young vascular surgeons, including burnout, fulfillment, and professional development. David, you recently presented some of your findings during the ESVS session, and they really caught my attention. Could you briefly introduce your project? What did you look at, and what have you found so far?
Yes, thank you very much for this opportunity to talk about this important subject on this platform. As you said, my name is David Whipple and I work as a vascular surgery resident in Innsbruck, Austria, in my fifth year now. And based on a discussion I had with Ryan Melo from Portugal last year, where he did a study in among his residents, among the Portuguese residents, we came up with the idea of conducting this survey about training, satisfaction, and well-being on a European scale to get a better understanding and where are the strengths of the systems and where are the weaknesses and where can we step in to change things. That's where we started the eVest survey, and we are in our final phase of recruiting, plan to publish the results at the beginning of next year. But what we've seen so far is that fulfillment is very high. People really care deeply about this work and about what they're doing. So what I've also seen is that we are, on the one hand, they care deeply about their work and what they're doing, but the workload and the pressure is also really high. And what was really surprising is that over a third of the trainees have actually considered leaving vascular surgery. This leads us to the impression that we are at a bit of a tipping point in the system where we have to decide which way we want to go. Do we want to keep young talents and young people in the field? And for that, we have to change something.
So what do you think? Is there still hope or are we doomed?
The older generation, they care about training, they care about our future and they want to improve it. And they give us the opportunity to make changes. So we as the younger generation, the next generation vascular surgery, we should really take this offer. The resonance within our community is very positive and we should go along with this.
Can you share with us what are the three most important things that you have so far learned from this project?
I think three of the most important points that both trainers and trainees agreed on the survey is that, for one, we need a structured curriculum. Second, we need mentorship. And third, we need simulation training. And most importantly, to achieve all three of these, we need time to do it. And the big question is, how do we get time? Because this seems to be the major bottleneck from both a trainee's perspective and trainer's perspective, that there is not enough time during the daily storm in the work life for mentorship, for simulation training. And this is something we should definitely work on to create protected time zones during the day.
Thank you, David, for being here with us today. And just quickly, if someone listening wants to participate in your survey, what's the best way to get involved?
Yes, thank you very much for bringing this up, because recruitment is actually still ongoing. And if you are interested, please just follow the link or the QR code. It will lead you straight to the trainer survey or trainee survey, respectively.
Thank you, David, for all your work. And I just wanted to add that this conversation brings together two very important perspectives. On one side, the lived experience of trainees and young vascular surgeons. On the other, the data that helps us understand, name, and measure those experiences. What becomes clear is that passion and exhaustion can coexist, that loving specialty doesn't mean that the system can or shouldn't improve. Training in vascular surgery is at the turning point. The next generation needs not only excellent technical education, but also structure, mentorship, and an environment that allows curiosity and well-being to survive alongside ambition. Thank you to all our guests for their honesty, openness, and time. And thank you to our listeners for being part of this conversation. You'll find links to David's research and to the trainee's survey in the show notes. And if you're eligible, we truly encourage you to take part. Until the next time.